It's the morning of the first Easter, and two of Jesus' followers are on the road, walking away from Jerusalem and heading toward a place called Emmaus. It's not that they had no idea that something was afoot, that something had happened. Somehow, it wasn't enough. Whatever they had heard wasn't enough to keep them close by. So they are leaving, heading to Emmaus. Who knows why? Maybe that's where they were from, or maybe they knew somebody there, maybe they were going for a visit. Despite hearing the wild tales that some women from the group had gone to the tomb of Jesus, only to find the tomb empty and a group of angels about, the two followers are still heading out of town, away from Jerusalem. After all, some of the men had followed the women, and they didn't see anything. So the two followers, one of them we learn is named Cleopas, the other is unnamed, perhaps a friend, perhaps a brother or sister, perhaps his wife. They're heading out of town. They know what happened on the previous Friday, and it all seems to point to an end to the story. It's over. It is finished. They had been among the followers, but now it seems to be over and done. They decide to take off and go to Emmaus, about 7 miles away. And while they're walking and talking along the way, they are joined by Jesus himself. But they don't recognize him. Curious, that is. Why don't they recognize him? They were supposedly among his followers. And here he is right there with him, talking with them. But they don't see. They're somehow kept from recognizing him. Frederick Buechner has asked the question, in the face of this lack of recognition at this crucial moment, maybe it was that the followers actually never recognized Jesus from the start. Maybe they had never truly looked or paid close attention. It seems clear enough that they had a specific notion of who and what Jesus was. And when it didn't go that way that they were expecting, they decide to head out of town. What's the point of sticking around? Maybe they had never recognized Jesus to begin with. But there they are on the road, and Jesus joins them and has a conversation with them. Jesus, now in the role of stranger, asks them what they're talking about. The followers are sad, Luke tells us. And then they share their shock that the stranger doesn't seem to know about Jesus or what's happened in Jerusalem. How can the stranger not have heard nor have known what had taken place? That Jesus of Nazareth was a great prophet, but he was turned over to authorities, was condemned, and then crucified. And this is where the followers offer an important insight, a clue perhaps to their state of mind and what likely fueled their lack of appreciation for Jesus himself, who had joined them and was talking with them. The followers tell Jesus along the road, Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But we had hoped. We had hoped. Inside their heads, they had had a very clear sense who Jesus was supposed to be, who Jesus ought to be. But perhaps they had never really recognized Jesus from the start. How could they possibly recognize him now? They had never recognized Jesus, nor understood what Jesus was about. And now the lack of recognition is on full display, but also reaching out a mirror for anyone who's reading this story. Is this you too? Is this us? Do we have a sense of Jesus in our own heads, in our own hearts? Have we drawn a picture of Jesus that reflects who Jesus actually was and is? Or is the picture actually a Jesus of our own devices? A Jesus is the sort of Savior we want, one that is not actually who Jesus was or who Jesus is. We had hoped. We had hoped. Do we have hopes and expectations of who this Jesus should be? Do we have dreams of what Jesus will do for us as individuals and as a community of faith, as a church? Do we have hopes, dreams, expectations that are rooted in Scripture and in story? Or are our dreams, our hopes, our expectations actually rooted in our own image, in what we want, what we hope, what we expect, what we desire? If Jesus were to come up alongside us and talk to us, would we recognize him? If Jesus were to come up alongside us and begin speaking to us, would we recognize him? This is one of the gifts of every Easter and every Easter season, to take a moment and ask ourselves, individually and as a group, what we make of Jesus. Who is Jesus to us and for us? What is it that we hope from Jesus? And in what ways do we walk away from the reality of Jesus just because the reality doesn't fit that image that we have drawn ourselves, contoured and colored by our own desires for what kind of Savior we want? Do we see the risen Christ, or do we see the sort of Savior we would prefer? We had hoped. We had hoped. Are the things that we hope, that we expect, that we desire, are they keeping us from recognizing the risen Christ? This is the gift of Easter and the Easter season, to take a moment and to pray for the grace of God to be honest with ourselves. Are our own hopes and dreams and expectations clouding our vision, keeping us from recognizing the very real presence of the risen Christ, who may very well be walking right alongside us at this moment? Yet we have built a wall of sorts that keeps us from seeing and understanding and recognizing, because the risen Christ who walks with us isn't the risen Christ we expect or want or have hoped for. Yesterday, at the memorial service of Lois Thurston, I read a piece from the foreword of her little history of Old South Hollowell's Granite Church, and I was looking over this before the service yesterday, and this is not the piece that I actually read, but I really been thinking about it a lot since yesterday, and fits very well with what we're talking about today. And in this little piece, in this little foreword about what Lois had written about the history of the church, there's this little simple paragraph. In Hollowell's Granite Church, you will find a story not about a building, but about people. For Lois Thurston was wise enough to see the story from the point of view of the Church of Jesus Christ, which from the beginning has had little to do with edifices and everything to do with people. We have hopes, we have dreams, we have expectations. In this Easter season, let's make sure we take a moment or two or three or a bunch more to spend some time in Easter, opening our hearts and our minds to consider whether we are able to recognize the risen Christ when he sidles up to us and begins talking, trying to help us understand how it really is and what he's really up to. Will we, in this season, all of us as individuals and as a church, come to a place where we too recognize that burning in our hearts, that burning in our hearts, and recognize the risen Christ? May it be so. Praise be to God. Amen.